pressure, temperature is all just as it is on the surface of the earth.
That's sure.
Inside the
ship. Sure. There can be variations on any ship, spaceship, or our own. The variations can go, say, from 15 pounds to almost 10 pounds per square inch and not affect you. Below that, it begins to affect you. So the difference on any planet between us and themselves is not more than 5%, 5 degrees, which would be from 15 maybe to 10 at the lowest. Then from there on, you'd have to go into pressurized ship and depressurize it gradually to let your lungs, get accustomed to it, just the same as a deep sea diver. Come up from heavy pressure to the surface. You can't come up too fast without having the bends. But slowly, you can. See? The same thing.
Apparently, the moon's atmospheric pressure is so much less that it takes, it's
6%. Well, if it is 6%, then that would mean there's on a pressure base, that would mean then that you'd have to reduce your capacity 9 degrees or 9 points to be comfortable on the moon then. And that may take 24 hours, 12 hours, any length of time. Depends how slow you have to go to reduce it, because your lungs and the cavities in it are air pockets, and they have to adjust themselves to that kind of a climatic condition. Even 3% difference between us at sea level and Mexico City takes you about a good week to get feeling just right, like you used to be feeling.
How about the reduced oxygen content on Mars that we hear about? Is this true?
We can't tell nothing about it. I don't take that as a fact. I take it as a potential. But I don't take it as a fact. We have nothing factual today outside of our own Earth, and even we have nothing factual in our own Earth as yet. For instance, the first instrument that was sent up by us, the first satellite, they're supposed to register conditions in outer space and also toward the Earth. And that instrument actually registered no oxygen on Earth. No oxygen on Earth. Yet we know it is here. See?
Okay. Are you ready to eat dinner?
Then you might say, the radio. The people that you listen to on radio or see on TV are not dead people. Yet you don't see them. You don't feel them. They are in your house now. All you have to do, get a radio here, tune it in. We gather the vibrations or the frequencies on which they're manifesting here, invisible. And there they are. On a TV, pull up a rabbit ear or two, there they are. So they're not dead people. They're living people. Yet, they may be 3,000 mile distance between this room and where they are dramatizing. All right. Each one of those rays, take one human being, for instance, appearing on a TV. I think there's 500 lines to our TV present today. 500 different lines are employed in a TV program to reproduce any one thing. All 500 lines must serve to produce your form, reproduce it again, like a reincarnation. Reproduce it from the original to the present, the same as the original was. France has got, 1,500 lines to theirs, which is a finer picture. All right. So it takes 500 lines to make you up on the screen and the TV. All supported by one power, and also by one single ray. You're like a cable having 500 fine wires in it, produces one thing at a time, as a whole, by combination of all of them. It works that way, you see. So, the consciousness of a creator, without which no creation could take place, is again, they might say, we'll use 3 billion people. Now just stop and think. 3 billion people in this world, and we'll make them all up of 500 lines to each individual. So 500 times 3 billion people are represented in one cable. And still that one cable as a speck of all intelligence of the all consciousness. Because it knows no limits. And this is limited now. You might say that that cable now, the extent and size, if we were to measure it, we'd say inch and a half through. Because we can have pretty fine wires for each one of them. So it's only inch and a half through. Between you and I think the stable is about 8 feet. It's 8 feet. How many inches is that? Now, if the cable was that thick, it still wouldn't occupy all space. But then we must say that all space is a sea of consciousness within which forms live, die, and are reborn. So there is really no limit to this consciousness. And when Jesus says, worship no man and no master, not even Christ, for there is only one, which is in heaven, that's your Father. He told you to go direct and not even through him. And when Stephen said, question him, you know, after resurrection. And he says, you talk about the Father. But you never showed us the Father. He says, you've been with me all this time and I have not seen the Father. This is what the difference is between the earthly people and space people. He says, you've been with me all this time and have not seen the Father. Then we go back to the Bible of Genesis and we find this. That we all have been created, image and likeness of a creator. Not of Jesus, not of Christ, but of the creator, of the Father. So then when I look at a human being, I'm looking at a representation of the Father. The space people look upon every human being and all creation the same way. For no creation could be as it is today if the Father was not represented in it, because the very creator that created the thing must be also represented in the thing. And when we get to those bases, then we'll begin to really live like we're supposed to have lived in the beginning. That's why the space people are further ahead. They're not saints or not devils, but they are further ahead because they have that fundamental understanding and live it as best they know how with each other. That's the difference. Now, let me illustrate this problem a little bit different. A drop of water is drop of water, whether it be in a lake, in a creek, or in a puddle, or in the ocean. It still is water, made up of the same elements. Now, no one drop of water will drop here. As soon as it drops, it forms a form. This form now is represented by a dome tape type shape form and a flat bottom because it lays on a flat surface. So it can now say, look at me. I'm shaped in a dome-like manner. I have a flat bottom. I'm a personified entity. And it is. Because the other drop of water may be a little different. It still have a flat bottom and made of something, but it may be bigger or smaller. So each one this personified in its own way. Now, we see that. We know now from experience that this drop of water belongs to somewhere in a body of water. Belongs to all the waters of the world. And it separated itself only by leaving that body and became an entity by itself here. This drop of water will start rolling. And as it rolls, it loses its identity because it becomes a a sphere of blood, and it does not care what it picks up, stench and everything else, whatever it rolls over, it gathers onto itself. Finally, it becomes a ball of mud. Now, things have changed. It became a form. Before that, it was not a form. It was liquid gas. Now it becomes a form, and liquid gas vanished. It's gone. So now it says, look, you tell it that its supporter, its creator, was water. But it says, no. That's not the case. Look at me. I'm nothing but a ball of mud. I don't see no water of me, around me. And it'll keep on fighting and demanding that it be recognized for the ball of mud instead of the water that made it up. But the water is the real foundation of its form. And it'll go on that way battling and will not recognize what you're trying to convey, because that part to it is now invisible. See? All it sees itself is for the ball of mud. So, one drop of water that have became the ball of mud finally stops. It says, I'm going to stop right here. I'm not going to roll any further. I see other balls of mud. They ain't going no further either. They're having a grand old time among themselves. And I'm going to have the same. And they stop. Time goes along. The water evaporates. And from dust they were made as balls of mud, to dust they return again as they evaporate. See? We call that death. But the minerals, the dust, goes back to dust and will probably become another ball someday again. To be used again. Maybe in a bigger ball, smaller ball, or some way. The identity of that first ball is gone. Forever. It only lived a short time in its egotistical manner. See the point now? But here's a ball that is a little smarter. He's an inquisitive kind of a character. He's like myself, want to break everything up, analyze it, and get down to the bottom of a thing. So this ball of mud keeps on rolling and searching and searching. I am not the form altogether. There must be something in me, because it tells me I am different than this ball of mud. Something made up this ball of mud we call a body. So I keep on searching. And I keep on rolling, going and hitting hot spots. And having a hell of a time, in other words, to try to get somewhere. And I'm wondering sometime if I'm ever going to get there. One day I make it. And I come to the shore of a vast body of water. This might be an ocean. Well, I know. And I have picked up all kinds of horrible things on the way. Like stench and everything else, nothing pure, debris of all kinds. The moment I reach the shore of this ocean, the first waves comes along, neatly carries me into its own body. As it does, the drop of water that made up this form suddenly separates, becomes the ocean of water. And the debris, which was my body, made of matter, is also absorbed into that great body of water, and in less than a twink of an eye, it's purified. All the debris and stench is gone. See? I have united with the all right there. Now, as a drop of water, and even the essence of my form, that I was one time a ball of mud, become part of the ocean. One with the ocean. Whatever goes on in that ocean, I am a part of it. Any part of that ocean, no matter how vast it is, if it happens what we'd call 10,000 miles on the other shore, it is my body also that may have the experience whatever happened there, because I'm the body of that ocean, and still I have the identity of myself when I was the drop, when I was the ball. Because I brought this whole thing into the oneness of that all, it could not lose that experience. But I placed it in a place where experiences or memory is eternal. Notice that even child up to 7 can be taught things that even when they're 70 will remember. But past 7, the child has already begun to miss a memory. What's trained its memory to be memorized is already missing. You tell the people something today, and next hour they have forgotten. So it proves that the mind does not retain a memory. Because you're dealing now more with the mind than you were at the age of 7. Okay? Does not retain the memory. But the consciousness does. So then, this drop of water that made up the ball of mud was the consciousness in this case. And the ocean was the all consciousness, what we call the creator, or the cosmos. And what that drop of water went through is experience, which became a part of a memory unto itself, is now deposited in the archives of time and eternity. And you can always recognize yourself. Like a finger can recognize itself that is part of his hand. And no longer live separate, but as a unit. Even the Creator is learning every day. For he set 2 laws into operation. Now if we put up a personal Creator, like we usually like to have, copying him after man, instead of man being copied after him. See? Personal Creator sitting somewhere on a throne. And he's created 2 laws into action, and he put them into action. These 2 laws are feminine and masculine laws, positive and the negative. Each time they combine, they produce a manifestation. Each manifestation is different from the other. A slight difference all the time. They're like the kaleidoscope. You put 2 little items in the kaleidoscope, and whether you turn it slow or turn it fast, you will find each time they produce a different pattern. No 2 identical patterns. So when I say then that this Creator sitting there on his throne is watching the whole show going on, only 2 characters, 2 actors are acting the drama of life and producing the various differences by less than a split second operation. His mind cannot be set on any one thing for any length of time, because one split second is this, next split second is that, and constantly different, and by every difference he's learning. So we'll never stop learning either. If we were to analyze ourselves from the time of our first, they say, conception of our beings within the body of another, and could have clicked off a camera by 1 second miss and another second recorded, in other words, gaps, 1 second gap, we would then conceive that by the age of 70, you actually have gone, actually really have gone through better than a billion deaths and billion rebirths. For that which was last second is gone forever, never to return, and that which has took its place is present, and it's going to go. Even to be grown to the stage of life that we are now, we have gone to thousands of deaths, because death is to that which has already served and never returns, and life to that which has just took its place to serve. So you see, it can never die. Life cannot die, if you understand it proper. But life will have experiences that are yet to come, and there'll never be an end to them. For if there was nothing to do, there'd be no rhyme or reason for anything then. For life to be life, it must be active. That's why it says, even in the Old Testament, that the Creator, representing God, and I could never understand why the devil had put a big beard on him and a gray hair and all that stuff, when he's supposed to really represent life of a primal stage, not the youngest audiolas, but in the primal stage. And it says in one place there, and yet they represent this way. He is today and tomorrow and forever the same without change. That real life. It never changes, but of itself produces different effects. You might say for its own amusement. For otherwise there wouldn't be no reason for its even being. See? But that's the way we have got lost. We are the invisible, operating through the visible, the ball of mud. Some of us stop, get disgusted, and stop on the way. Others keep on searching till we finally reach that shore of the all-inclusive consciousness, which is that sea, and became one with it. And Jesus says it can be done in a twink of an eye. It can be when we reach there. Be all done in a twink of an eye. And no preacher and no teacher or anyone can get you there. You have to travel that road yourself. He can tell you where the road is. And it's another odd part of it. A teacher never taught anybody anything. He only reminds of what they already know, that they have forgotten. He works on their memory. Because how could you understand what he's saying, if you do understand what he's saying, if you never had the experience? New things take time to learn. Yet, something is said and you already grasp it and understand it, then all he had done is reminded you of something you've already done or have experienced. You like we say, well, when I was 5, I did something. I forgot all about it. Somebody comes along and says, George, remember when you was 5 years old? You did this and you did that. Oh, my God. I forgot all about it. So he reminded me of it. And only the way I could recognize it, that part, is because I had the experience. If I did not have the experience, I could never recognize even if he told me so. Could not be a part of me. So all a teacher does is keep alerting you. And that consciousness, while your mind may have forgotten it, the consciousness is trying to do the same thing to us by alert us to the things of the past where we can establish ourselves by knowing that we had the experience at one time and we're now made to memorize them because those experiences will fit into the present somewhere. In other words, we've been building up that jigsaw puzzle and putting pieces together and we missed a piece here and a piece there. Now the time came along that the piece that we laid aside didn't know where they're going to be fitting into the plan. Here's the time the memory comes back. As I put it over here, it'll fit here. That's why these things come. In other words, confusion must be eliminated and before the unity of mind and purpose of life will establish itself or take place. In other words, with that process, we're trying to build on a rock foundation instead of shifting sands. It's the whole thing. There's nothing what you call, say, unholy, if we use that label. Nothing unholy. Everything is holy. Because how could a creator, whoever he may be to your mind, because it's, some people say Jehovah, some people call it Supreme Being, some people call it God. Call it what you will. Labels don't mean nothing. They're only supposed to represent something, and they're mostly confusing. Because each group of people calls the same thing some other name, and they can't understand where they fit in together. And the division grows. But call it what you will. That great force of the cosmos in the intelligence coupled with it is responsible for everything that is on this earth. But without its support or creation, we wouldn't see what we see today or have what we see. You might buy a beautiful toy for your child, and a child may misuse that toy. We have made a knife only to help man from pulling his meat with his teeth and fingers apart while he's eating it, to alleviate his struggle there. But it did not tell him to use that knife on another human being, but he does. So it's a misuse of the things that have been created for our purposes to help us out. That's where the evil comes in. But outside of that, when it's for the original creation, it is divine, as the divine intelligence was at the time it was created. So there's nothing to be improved upon, or nothing to be made better. This already is complete. But the recognition of it by us, and then use it for the purpose they were, the creation took place. And that's all. We couldn't be in a holier place now, as I said last night, than we are. This world was created by divine mind, let us put it that way, by a creator. And that creator was nothing but divine, therefore his creation must be divine. So if we ourselves belittle ourselves by separating ourselves from the true source of one's own being, and that part is your consciousness. We have became intellectual, mental intellectual giants, but from the conscious side, we have become nothing but the moral morons. And that's the side we got to bring forth. If we're going to be the man that we're supposed to be, or the humanity is supposed to be. We don't want to go one extreme or the other. Jesus says, you're not forbidden from using anything, but use it in moderation or a balance. Eh? Use it in moderation. We've gone to extreme development. Men of giant minds. But on the moral side, we haven't done anything. Now what we got to do, we got to reduce this mental giant to the 50% base and bring up that which we failed, which is the creator of this giant, on the 50% base. Get them both together here at the middle, the halfway house, and blend them both together. Then we'll be the human beings that we're supposed to be, and the world will be altogether different. See? Do away with the divisions that we ourselves place between ourselves, really ourselves, because the consciousness of ourselves is one thing, the eternal part. The mental part is another thing.
Are you identifying consciousness with moral consciousness? Is that what you're saying?
No. Moral consciousness is of the mind. A consciousness knows no morals in the sense that we call morals.
When you say consciousness, you're talking about self-consciousness?
Self-consciousness, yeah, the ego. The ego that feels itself separated from his own God.
From what you said, would it be proper to say then that life is God, or God is life, or the creative
what
God
we
is life?
Wait a while. What we call God, or what we call Jehovah, or what we call divinity, is the only life you'll ever know, the real life, the eternity itself. The forms are an effect of that cause. It is a cause of all manifestations. Electricity cannot be seen, but you cannot deny it. And that electricity is a cause of many of the things of this tape recorder running. Picking up the sound of my voice. Illuminating this light. Bringing joy and music and harmony into many homes, warm their cold bodies, and things like that. Yet, it depends upon the intelligence of man that uses it. He can also use that electricity to destroy its own kind. Yet, the man that pushes that voltage over the wires from the power plant, all he knows is he's going to serve the community wherever that power reaches. And that the best will be the results. Yet you'll walk in a bathtub and put a finger where he is not supposed to do into open socket and maybe electrocuted or badly burned. He doesn't know a thing about what happened. The juice is still going on, serving others, and some people are enjoying that juice by having a machine playing records or TV running and some beautiful singing going on while you got hurt with the same power by misuse of it. And you're supposed to have the intelligence to apply it properly to yourself. So you see, that's where karma comes in. You paid the price for misuse of it. The power lends itself to the worm, to the minerals, to the world as a whole, and to you. And you are more responsible for the usage of the power than in the other ones I mentioned, because you're supposed to be the unlimited instrument of intelligence. Almost like the deity, as the Father, so is the Son.
Will we ever see God?
Will you ever see God? When I'm looking at you, I see God.
But we all strive for an eternity. And there's a reference to heaven and seeing our Father face to face. Will this time come?
Yes, when you understand your conscience and not your mind, let your mind understand the conscience, the very thing that bore you into this world, you'll see it face to face. I'll never forget Burbank, because you see what happened to him. He's done a lot of good in developing plant life and all of that, and actually working with nature. He was working with God's own creation. When he was asked one day by the press, with a minister present, if he believed in God, he says, "Believe in God. I work with God. I see him daily, face to face. He instructs me what to do." That was blasphemy. And immediately they call him an atheist. And if you go back in the morgue of our press, you will find that the press spread it that wide that everybody went against the old man. Till a minister in San Francisco finally invited him to one of the largest congregations in San Francisco to speak from the pulpit for himself. First he introduced him and all of that. So he explained what he meant, which was the absolute truth. You couldn't get away from it. Still, the stigma of atheism was not removed after once it put on him. And he spoke the truth. And because the people give him a hard time after that, it's always sometimes said that he died of a broken heart before his time. Yes. God smiles and talks to you even in the blade of grass. You can see him there face to face. You can see him wherever nature works. How would I know your husband, even if I have not met him? But I met his son. All creation is a creation of a creator, whom we call God. In that creation, we see him. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are they that see not yet believe." The words I speak, the questions you'll ask, are never known until they're spoken. But we have not been schooled to know them. Yet without that silent impression, before it becomes a sound, we could not speak a word. We'd have nothing to say, we would know what to say. Yet that silent air that you and I breathe is coming right out of the mouth of God, if you want to use those words, and by it we live. How much closer could that God be to us now than he is? Can we now see physical eyes or effects? and they guide themselves to effects. The window pane doesn't see. It's the party standing behind the window pane that sees through the window. When that consciousness is gone out of your being, which is the real self of yourself, the window is still there. The doctors can take that eye and transplant it in another human being, and another human being will see it, see through that eye. So it proves that they're all okay. Then why don't they see? The seer has left. Now, if you see that in your real self, you have seen God face to face. Life itself, as we can see it now, or try to do research on it, whatever that life is, it cannot be labeled, because there's no definition for it. To have a definition for it, we'd have to something, like some people say, concrete. And that which is something in backing up all forms of life and creation is not seen through the naked eye. It's got to be a conscious seeing. The consciousness sees all. The mental is limited. We're trying to see this all mentally instead of consciously. I can see right here, before me, consciously, not mentally, even though my eyes begin to see now, after the mental lays the pattern out. I mean, the consciousness lays the pattern out. Then the mental perceives it, if it's trained properly. I can see the sperm of a seed unfolding right here on this table right now. And I'm not in no trance. Unfolding before my eyes the blueprint, the layout of which a form will finally be formed, born as a human being. See all those fine threads from this little seed begin to sprout and throw out the threads just like an octopus. They're so fine that you have even a hard job to see them consciously, not alone through the sight, physical sight. And see them all like bare wires. And if they made a contact with each other now, they would destroy and burn themselves up. The power is already running, passing through them. So now, if they're not disturbed, laid out perfectly, the insulation, what we call insulation of wires, electrical wires, will begin to, in a gelatin form, form around those little tiny wires, finer than anything you can see. And they'll finally meet with the others. And joined, that way they be joined through insulation, we call nerves sometimes, because a nerve exposed to air or something like that is painful. Or nerves cross each other will burn up like two hot wires. All right, this is an insulation between that finally molds the human form. I can see all of that. Consciously, when I become conscious, I see it here, and this projects it over here, yet you don't see it. Projects it over here, and my eyes begin to accept it. The regular blueprint, and see the process going on. No human being on earth knows how to do that. But every human being on earth can learn if he allows the Creator to present it to him and see how it's done. So it is not only when a human being the same that way, but with everything else, you really are actually witnessing creation from the very tiny seed to the fulfillment of man or a blade of grass or flower. The planet's the same way. It can be seen. You're seeing actually God at work, or his intelligence at work.
Well, then if that drop of water that dropped and formed itself.
Yes. That's right.
It wouldn't have picked up the mud as it went along. It would have kept its original perfection.
Well, it only proves one thing, that the mud that we call mud and dirt and filth and all of that was not really mud and dirt, only we give it the name because through the process of likes and dislikes, because after it got to this vast ocean of consciousness and absorbed by it, was called matter or form, and it was absorbed by it, it became one with it suddenly, and there was no such a thing as judgment passed on it, for now the dirty stuff must go here and something else must go there, see? It's the misconception on the part of the human mind through the process of likes and dislikes that call it filth, dirt, stench, and all of that.
Then you would call that the collection of the physical body to express itself.
That's right.
Experience.
That's right. In other words, every phase that of human makeup is a form must be there or the form will not be complete. And so it gathers all the necessary things for a form to be complete expression. And then the mind, if the mind is properly guided, will serve that purpose. Because the mind is a mediocre between the two. Mind is the sun of the two, because the body then acts as a mother principle, and the consciousness is a father principle. And the third party, which is the Trinity, born out of the two, which is the sun, we call it the mind. Now, the son can behave and go along with the parent, or it can go on its own and become like a prodigal son and learn the hard way and the bitter way, and eventually some of them, one here and there, may return, the other's going to be lost, and the turmoil probably never returned. See? But the minerals will always go back to their own original state and serve another purpose.
See? Minerals which are created by...
You know, this is another thing that's hard for people to take, and it's not a nice, pleasant thought either. It isn't only Jesus that said this, but Lao Tzu, Confucius, Muhammad, Cheney. He says, fear not the man that slays the body, but fear the man that slays the soul. The soul, second soul, is the offspring, which is the son, the third party from the mother and the father principle, which we call the ego or man. It can totally be lost in his own ego and never cultivate 1,000 part of memory, and so long as I have no memory, man without a memory is nothing. That is the reason for all of us today that can remember even one experience in a past life. The mind does not retain memory, the consciousness does. And so long as we keep separated from the consciousness, which is the real self of one, the invisible part, and don't trust that consciousness, as we should, we'll never even trust the impressions it places upon us of memory from the past. And yet, look, just stop and think it over. When you go to bed tonight, now like last night, I said there was a thunder, lightning, and everything else. I didn't hear a thing. I didn't hear a thing. I slept sound. Until they told me this morning. I saw that it was raining last night sometime because I saw the water on the street, but that's all. And they said, well, didn't you hear the thundering and lightning and all of that that were going on? And I said, not a bit. All right? In other words, I were really dead. You could take me out of that room and push me somewhere else, I would have not known. See, so I really dead. So my mind was actually dead. Was not alert. Then who in the devil took care of that body of mine that woke me up in the morning as a mental character? That consciousness, that something that you didn't see and don't see. You only see my form. Because I was woken in the morning and here my mind looked out, oh, it rained. Then they tell me thundered and lightning, and I accepted that information, although I didn't experience it. But my mind didn't know a thing about a thing like that happening. It's so dead. In other words, that's all there is to death. You go to sleep and you wake up. Just that quick again. Life does not stop.
One man said if you are still alive, you wake up in the same room. If you died, you wake up in another
one. Yeah. Life does not stop.
In other words, there's only life.
The mind... The instrument known as a mind must have a rest. And it rests, in theory, it's like that. But the consciousness never rests, never tires, never dies. And that's the renew that perpetuates this body into field of action and misrepresents the impression many times of the consciousness that the consciousness bestows upon it. Tries to blend with other effects. In other words, it's an effect. It only lends itself to effects. And that's why they say, show me something concrete, because effects are supposed to be concrete, and they're really not concrete. They too disintegrate. See? So the so-called a person that knows nothing but his mental stage have never stopped themselves to find out what promotes that mental action will say, show it to me in concrete. Because concrete to him is a manifestation, the tree, the earth, the body that and the nose that he can punch, or anything like that. See, that's what he calls concrete. But he doesn't know. Even that very arm that rises to punch his nose, he doesn't see the power that permits that arm to punch his nose. He only sees something moving. It's like you see a car moving on the highway. How many people seeing that car moving on the highway can see those pistons going up and down by fast explosion compression system? Can see them operating without definitely looking at them and see them operating. See, we haven't even started learning, not alone being alive. We're actually living in a dreamland, and I kind of think sometimes, how was that brought about? Because in the Bible it says, which is the second creation. First creation tells you that he created, there's a pattern, there's a good one. You don't have to go far to know these things. He said in the first creation he created male and a female all at the same time, see? That was a pattern, blueprint. Like you would make a pattern or a blueprint for a house that you're going to build. So he created male and female. He created everything in that first creation as a blueprint. Then in the second creation, when forms begin to appear according to the blueprint, this is where the division takes place. Might have been that way, or might have not, I don't know. But it's written that way. That he created Adam first. And then he taught the old man, he wasn't old, he was young, because he just created. To live alone was quite a lonely life, so he thought he'd create him a companion, a woman. But not the same way as he created him. As a result of that, a lot of women lost their heads. They would have been chopped off like we chop a chicken's head off today. Because the idea, the belief went on for a long, long time that a woman had no soul. What has no soul, there was no crime to destroy it. But a man had a soul because it speaks, he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and became a living soul. So there was a difference between women and men for a long time. And so finally he creates this woman. And he creates him out of Adam's rib. The first anesthetic been now given to Adam in all his life. And to put him deep sleep, because it's a painful situation to take a rib out of a man, separate him, they put him to deep sleep. And as the Lord carved this man out of a bone, I mean the woman out of a bone, don't forget, bone is not as easy to handle as clay is. Clay can be molded very easily. But a bone, you've got to carve a good sharp knife or tool, and it'll slip every now and then. So every time it slipped, it produced the curve. And ever since that creation, the curve has been getting them in. But it never said anywhere in the Bible that he's ever woken that man out of that deep sleep. he's still sleeping. So sometimes when you look at yourself and look at life as whole, you feel like you're going through a dream, that this life is nothing but a dream. It could be, but even the women have that, so they are also gone to sleep someplace. But now, so you see, this mind has not yet fully awakened to life itself. So itself feels like sometimes it's quite realistic, everything is quite real. And another time, something comes upon you and thinks, I wonder, this whole life looks like a dream. I don't know the reason why or anything else, the purpose of it. Because sometimes it looks like it's a worthless effort and sometimes some worthwhile. And you, even when you start believing other people or preachers, or, and they don't know any better than you do, they're after all, men and women like yourself, they studied either through book or something else. Even then, if you want to believe it, something rises in you and say, I wonder if it's true. I wonder what there is to it. There's nothing definite. And yet, if you walk unconsciously, there would be definite. So that means you're still separated from your real self, from the very one that was responsible for creation of that body. And you can also see that you brought some men in the Garden of Eden, brought on this division that separated himself from the real and made him what he is. A judge of all the things when he should have never judged nothing. But learn about it, and once you learn about it, you understand it, and when you understand it, you don't judge. And that is here. This is a funny thing. Now, I'm not promoting this idea, don't misunderstand me. But go to the Bible and you can see the pattern laid out there, if the Bible is telling us any truth at all. Here, poor Adam and Eve, the only people on earth, they're walking around perfectly nude the way that God created them. Not a stitch of clothes were not known. Well, nature is a funny thing. She'll impose her laws upon any creature. So the time came along that she's imposed the law upon Adam and Eve. Eve got into this state towards her motherhood. They were not told that things like that going to be happening. They were ignorant of the fact. So, she asked Adam. Adam didn't know it either. So, what are we going to do about this? But nature is nature. They proceeded. First experience. And that was called the fall of man, which is not because they were here to populate the earth. But it does go show that they blamed that for the fall of man. Because after that, you notice, according to the Bible, Adam and Eve both sought the biggest fig leaves they could find to cover the part of the body that they thought committed wrong. And even then, they got ashamed of their total body, finally, and hid in the brush. And God called upon them, and he said, and they said they were hiding. He said, what are you hiding for? Because we are nude. And he says, who told that thou were nude? There were no one to tell them. So they passed the judgment upon themselves. And for that judgment, they divide the life between them. And that's how they got chased out of the Garden of Eden, which was perfect equilibrium of life. And had earned their bread by sweat of their brow because they made a division. When there was no division, they brought in the division upon themselves. You can see that so plain. Because the illustrations here goes to indicate that's what happened and nothing else. But the main part of that's a physical judgment or a physical man passing a judgment upon himself when a God didn't even know what happened. Asked him what happened. And he says, who told that thou was nude? See? All right, then they go to another phase of another fall of man, which is the major one. The archangel. Most beautiful in all the heavens. Till one day he expressed himself, and he had to have a pair of eyes like you and I. He with a man like you and I. And he looked over heaven and he said, had it been me, I could have created a better heaven than this. He again to pass the judgment upon the Creator, upon God Himself. He judged God, exalted Himself above the God's own consciousness. And soon as he got a lot of followers, soon as that became known by God that what he'd done, then God dethroned him with his followers, and known as fallen angels. This was the biggest crime of the two. Man committed in both cases. First he judged himself, then he judged God, or his creation. See? Now he had to have a pair of eyes to see heaven as it was, and he judged them for that. So his eyes passed the judgment upon one of his senses, the sight, passed the judgment upon God. And for that he would be thrown, called Lucifer. See? The other was, he was created with the purpose of multiplying and the world of its, with its own kind. And he didn't understand it, so he condemned himself for it. And since then, that particular field of expression has been misused, terribly abused, and everything else. See? And yet without it, nothing, not even the food that we ate here at the stable, could have been born. It's the only avenue of reproduction and support of forms that are higher than what we eat. See? Without which nobody could live. So you see, there's two different laws, two different stages that a man have fallen from the original. Now he has to get rid of that. As a result, creation of likes and dislikes became our rule. Things that don't comply with some of our teachings are disliked, are condemned. Things that don't appear well enough to our eyes or to our senses are judged and condemned and disliked. Things that are pleasing to them are liked. And yet many things that are pleasing to one will not be pleasing to the other. So that in itself proves that all things are right, because if something was totally not pleasing, then there'd be thousands of people up in here, everybody would be displeased with it. But yet, the evil that we call and are displeased with serves a very, very noble deed somewhere else. So it's all a misunderstanding, a lack of proper knowledge that puts the humanity in the shape that's in today and nothing else. And this is nothing. I said nothing here, but you cannot read, but you got to use common sense of analysis that will fit, make some sense to it. And you can get that yourself. And by broadening out your minds to be able to analyze things in that way, you yourself are rising to better understanding, and better understanding is to yourself especially. And that comes first. And that is another reason why space people have gone as far as they have and go further, because they are working with the Creator, so to speak, instead of against Him.